This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Welcome to In Person with Dina Marie, our daily walk with Jesus Christ, our Blessed Mother, and the saints in our everyday lives. Guests include priests, religious, husbands and wives, missionaries, authors, speakers, evangelists, and you. Explore the joy of the gospel as we share stories from the heart and how to navigate our journey of faith day by day. And now, In Person with Dina Marie on Modern Day Radio.
What a blessing to have you joining us here at Mater Dei Radio. Our in-person series continues as we shine the light of Jesus Christ. Whether it's hazy or foggy or sunny or snowy, we continue to share the message of Jesus Christ and the joy of the gospel. So nice to see so many events internationally that are tied around that message of the joy of the gospel. Of course, Pope Francis has really taken that message and continued to write and to share and to be an example of living out our lives as the joy of the gospel. And we walk to a place, we enter into a room. Do people know something's different about who we are and why we are and how we live our lives? Would they know that we love Jesus Christ? Well, how do we really share that message of the love of Jesus Christ? How do we really receive those beautiful graces and to share those graces and the love of Jesus Christ with others? You know, we have a companion. We have one who wants to help us along the way on the path to holiness, to strive closer and closer every day to not be a perfect family, just to be a holy family, to be a family striving for holiness, to be individuals, to be brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of the King. Our Lady, the Queen of Peace, wants to help us get to heaven. She has a peace plan, and over the last few months, we have been unpacking that plan, looking back historically into 1916, 1917, to see the world events, to see what's been happening globally through governments, through peoples, through religious communities, and even in a little tiny, sweet place called Fatima, Portugal, where Our Lady came together with three shepherd children back in May of 1917. We have a couple of members of the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA, Our Lady's Blue Army. You can learn more about the Blue Army at their website. It's bluearmy.com. Tremendous amount of resources right there online, and you can go to the special 100 Years of Grace page, which I've been checking out because the tour page is posted there as well. We've got a lot of that information on our homepage, but it's been exciting to develop stronger relationships with this community, the World Apostolate of Fatima, because they are really the Pope's team to share the message of Fatima. And over the course of the last few months and continuing through December, they have been going on a special tour. Now, we've been talking about this because the tour is right here in Oregon now through the 8th of August, and a really, I think, significant time for us here in the Archdiocese because that falls upon a first Saturday weekend. And so Our Lady is celebrating with us in a very special way. With me by phone at the home of the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA, their executive director, David Carollo. David has been with us several times to share. In fact, he's come to the Archdiocese of Portland to help us and help Archbishop Sample recognize Our Lady and to call upon a special consecration to the people who live here in the Archdiocese. With David joins us is Barbara Ernster. She serves as communications in the communications office and has been really working on some of these beautiful tours, the Tour for Peace itinerary, which is a very busy one. Good morning, David. Thanks for coming back on the program.
Good morning, Dina Marie. Great to be with you. I like that Pope's team thing.
That's yeah. Great. Hey, we are. We are part of the Pope's team, and how fun is that?
That's good.
I love it.
Good team to be on.
Oh, it is. Barb, thanks for joining us once again.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Well, we have Patrick somewhere in Oregon. I think he's over in Southeast Washington or Southeast Oregon right now with Southeast Portland area with Our Lady. And so we're grateful that he has come here. He's brought Our Lady in a special way. We've been really anticipating this visit, and now it's here. And I'm grateful we have both of you. Barb, I'm going to have you kick us off and just tell us a little bit about this tour because it's been going on. And Patrick, one of the custodians, has been traveling far and wide. Why have a tour for this 100th year anniversary?
Well, we thought this was the year to tell people the story of Fatima again and really spread this message far and wide. What we've found is that so many people maybe heard a little bit about the story of Fatima, but they really don't know the message. And so for the 100th anniversary, we kicked off this tour actually on March 20th, 2016. So it's been going on now since that time. We've hit 41 of the 50 states so far as of July 31st, including Alaska and Hawaii. In fact, the statue just returned from Alaska before it came into the Portland Diocese.
That's fantastic.
We visited over 400 parishes, schools, and shrines, and we have about 108 more to go on the schedule before the tour ends on December 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal from the very beginning was to allow Our Lady of Fatima to claim her dominion over America through her Immaculate Heart, and then to bring this urgent message of Fatima to a world in need. We also wanted to encourage devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, because that was something that God himself wanted established through this message.
Yeah. David, I want to have you share a little bit about this Immaculate Heart of Mary, and we've seen it actually even in some of the messages to the children from Our Lady about really referring to the Immaculate Heart. Break open a little bit of the message of Fatima as it ties to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. This month we recognize in August as the month of the Immaculate Heart. Why is this so significant?
I think it's very significant. It was in actually the second apparition in June where she first revealed her Immaculate Heart, and I think she is pointing out the thorns in the heart that are we willing to make reparation for the sins against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the purest heart in creation, and so it really does. It is what the Fatima message is all about. Okay, Fatima is about reparation, of course, Eucharistic reparation. But it's reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart. When you get into the first Saturday devotion, these are for the blasphemies committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, okay? And so it's very important. I mean, this is how we look at Our Lady. I mean, this is what she showed us. This is what we have to repair. And I think that's why it's so significant.
Mm-hmm. Barb, when you have been seeing this tour, and the goal is the 50 states as you go through to the end of December, can you give us some stories of what the custodian has told you? What do we know about this tour? How is it impacting the people as Our Lady comes from state to state?
Well, I actually traveled with the tour in South Dakota because Patrick was out of the country, and so I was there as the custodian. What I'm finding is that people are really looking for a sense of hope. And what I have told people in my talks during the tour was, you know, you have more power than you think you do. We can't really do anything about North Korea or what's happening in Washington, but we have the power to change it, and Our Lady has given us the tools. And that's why this message is so important, because these are the tools that we have to combat all that's going on in our world around us. And I always say, let Our Lady and Our Lord handle the big things. They can handle the big things. I can do what I can. Our Lord and Our Lady will do what I can't. And wherever we go, Our Lady is just, she does bring a sense of hope to people, because they feel like they have a strong commander-in-chief with them, somebody who's leading them, if we can just get behind her. And we've seen thousands of people have been enrolled in the Brown Scapular and made a personal consecration to the Immaculate Heart. Thousands have signed a commitment form to do as Our Lady requested. And they're learning about the first Saturday devotion, what we call the forgotten devotion, and they're actually starting to pick this devotion up and practice it, as well as a number of parishes that are starting to promote the first Saturday devotions. And I'm working on gathering that kind of information so we can do a report by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Barb, have you noticed on your tour with Our Lady, are people coming who maybe don't know the message of Fatima, who've never really experienced Our Lady? Maybe they're not even Catholic, or maybe not even Christian, and something drew them to a particular parish where Our Lady was present?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I spoke to people that were not Catholic, but I did notice a lot of younger people, for mm-hmm. some reason, they heard about it and they came, and that age group, you know, 20-something, they didn't grow up learning about these kinds
yeah.
of things. And so they're hearing about it for the first time.
Exactly.
And it's giving them a different view of the world, especially through a mother's heart. You know, all of us love our mothers. And, you know, if you can start to see the gospel message through Mary's heart, It's a little more gentle. It's a little more enticing. You're more attracted to it because she is so pure. And she, to me, she is just such a symbol for us today. And I believe our Lord gave her to us during this time, the age of Mary, for a very specific reason, because mm-hmm. we need her.
Mm-hmm. David, how does this message from Our Lady cross all generations, from the youngest ones to the oldest ones, men and women? Our Lady, this message is really for all people, isn't it?
Well, it is for all people, and it's for all ages, most certainly. Our Lady came in 1917 and warned of many, many things. What does she warn us of? She said, we are not living in accord with the laws of God, with the Ten Commandments, and we must return to that. And that's a message which is without age, without time. I mean, it is the message that was given to Moses. It was the message that was reiterated by our Lord on earth, and how many times through private revelation in the history of the church, you know, return to living in accord with the Gospels. So this does not, this transcends all age and everything, okay? Old people, young people, we all must do it. And for the young people who are looking at this world and really do have a desperate vision of the world, let's be honest, it is very uncomfortable to see the world that they're coming of age into, okay? And they're very uncatechized. They don't know the basics, but they're hungering for it. You know, people have a natural desire for God, and we have to provide this in light of our Catholic faith, okay? And this is what the message of Fatima is all about, was to bring this to those, particularly those who are those who are really uneducated. The new evangelization, the Fatima message is integral to the new evangelization, which is for what? To primarily recapture our own people, okay? Our own Catholics, or our traditionally Catholic people, who have not been trained in the faith and have lost it. And that's why the Fatima message is so important to all the ages, old and young.
Mm-hmm. Barb, when you have talked to groups, as you've brought the statue during this tour, Our Lady's tour, 100 Years of Grace, and you mention we have tools for hope. Our Lady brings us a message of hope, and you hear from a mother or father who says, you know, my child has fallen away from the faith, is not coming to church, that concern and that worry, and maybe even that anxiousness about things that they're hurting about. How do you offer that message of hope? What really encourages you to give that encourage back about we do have hope?
Well, I have the same issues in my own home. I got two girls in college, and they come home. They've been, trained in the Catholic faith. They've lived the Catholic faith, and then they go off to college, and they start to hear the secular viewpoints, and they start to say, well, what's wrong with this, and what's wrong with that? And I have to constantly be evangelizing even to them and trying to give them the church's message and the gospel message that never changes. And so there's things I can't do. I can't be monitoring them 24/7, but I just consecrate them to Our Lady, and that's what I tell other parents. Our Lady and our Lord love our children more than we do, and we just have to keep doing what they asked us to do. They're going to take care of our children, and I see signs of that. And I know Our Lady said, too, that the more you practice the First Saturday devotion, the more her graces can flow throughout the land, and people will be drawn to her. And I had an experience of that with my own daughter. I had been practicing the First Saturday devotion, and all of a sudden she came up to me one day, right after I read this, she said, Mom, I've been feeling closer to the Blessed Mother lately. And I thought, wow, that was kind of a little signal grace to me that this is true. And I see little signs from them that they come to me to get, you know, to the wellspring, to get the solid answers. And they always tell me it makes more sense when they talk to me. But then they have to go back out into the secular world and hear the other viewpoints. But they're discerning and they're understanding, and they keep coming back. And I do believe that's what we can do for our kids, to be a constant symbol of truth and joy and not wavering in our faith. If we waver in our faith, if we start giving in to the secular viewpoints and saying, yeah, I can understand where that wouldn't be so bad, then we're not strong anymore. We're not, what's the point of coming to us? So I always try to be as strong as I possibly can, even if they don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tell parents, you know, don't waver, and then let our Lord and our Lady do the work. I've told our Lord and our Lady in adoration, you're the one who does the saving, so that's not in my category.
Absolutely. Barb is with us from the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA, and the Communications Office. Also, David Carollo. David, you were here a couple of years ago as our Archbishop Alexander Sample consecrated our Archdiocese under that beautiful title of the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady of Fatima. He reinstituted that consecration again this year in honor of the anniversary. Tell us a little bit about how important having that consecration from a bishop, from a shepherd in the church, to really consecrate the people under that title of the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Consecration is a very important thing, and particularly when it's done by the shepherd of a diocese. He is the authority, and he is sending that. He's calling down that consecration upon the entire diocese. All those churches, all the priests and laity that are under his direction, under his guidance, and it is very important, very significant when it's done by the bishop, and that's and heaven looks very strongly upon that type of thing. So when these dioceses are consecrated, many, many wonderful things happen. And I know since that consecration, when we were there, of course I was on the show with you around that time too. I understand that the first Saturday devotion has really proliferated in your diocese. So it's a statement. I mean, it's the grace that comes down, but it's also the example set by the leader. Okay,
yeah.
I mean we all follow. Let's be honest, and the priests of the diocese do follow what their leader is doing. And Archbishop Sample, God bless him, he's been great. By the way, Archbishop Sample will be coming. We're doing a pilgrimage to Fatima with him next month, and so we're looking forward to being with him in Fatima. Great.
I want to invite people to visit our website, materdayradio.com. We have a whole page dedicated to the Fatima anniversary, and including that pilgrimage and all the current tour that's going on here. In fact, Our Lady is going to the Dalles today and then heading over to Portland, our cathedral, and then down to the Salem area over in Oregon City and over to Redmond and Sacred Heart Klamath Falls. So she's really making a big sweep through the state of Oregon. We're grateful for that. Let's take a quick break and come back and share a little bit more about the tour. And again, as we approach this weekend, a weekend of the First Friday and First Saturday devotions, it's a very special time for us to invite you to really participate and to learn more about these beautiful devotions and the way that we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit and bringing souls to Jesus Christ, leading souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is Mater Dei Radio. You're in tune with In Person.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from Leadership Circle member Catholic cemeteries, including Mount Calvary in Portland, Gethsemane in Happy Valley, and Mount Calvary in Eugene. Operated by the Archdiocese of Portland since 1888, Catholic Cemeteries provides full-service, pre-arranged burial plans for families. Information on special masses and events at ccpdxor.com or 503-292-6621.
Hello, this is Emily Jaminet with the Mother's Moment. When children start to argue, it's like an eruption of emotion and tension at the same time. Our house can go from a nice quiet evening of family fun to children declaring who is the best, what they deserve next, and screaming and yelling. In Mark 10:35, it states, James and John, the two brothers, came forward to Christ and said, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your glory." As parents, we oftentimes hear requests regarding our children's desire to be the best and to get the best. The scriptures go on and share with us that the other disciples were indignant with these two brothers. Does this sound like situations in your own home? Christ shared that these two brothers will not be at the left and right hand, and at the end of the passage, Jesus says to them words that hit at the core of all motherhood and family life. "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." When family peace starts to break down in your home, it's important to remind the entire family that Christ wants us to live a life of service and love to each other. So let us pray. Dear Jesus, please help our homes to be a place of peace, joy, and service to each other. Amen. And may we be a light in this world by finding joy in serving.
Prayer is the cornerstone of everything we do at Mater Dei Radio. For almost 30 years, it's been an honor for us to pray for the personal intentions of listeners just like you. On the air, we unite with the communion of saints through our daily broadcast of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the Mysteries of the Holy Rosary, the Chaplain of Divine Mercy, and a variety of inspiring spiritual reflections. But Mantra Day Radio doesn't stop there. We bring your personal intentions into the world through our powerful prayer hotline. So how can we pray for you? Let us know by going to MantraDayRadio.com and clicking the contact button on our homepage, or call the Mantra Day Radio prayer hotline at 503-285-3737. That's 503-285-3737. Or click the contact button on top of the homepage at MantraDayRadio.com and let us pray for you.
We hope you join us with the prayer of the Holy Rosary each and every day at 6 o'clock in the morning. If you can join us that early in the morning, or maybe at 6:30 in the evening, or late in the evening at 11:30 every day, several times a day, we have that beautiful prayer of the Rosary. And that was a constant message from Our Lady to these three shepherd children back in 1917 during these monthly apparitions between May and October, from Our Lady to pray the Rosary, to pray the Rosary well, and to pray for peace with particular intentions. The Blue Army joins us, Our Lady's Blue Army, the World Apostolate of Fatima USA, bluearmy.com. Very simple website to get to. Go to it often. Lots of things going on as they are celebrating the Fatima Centennial U.S. Tour for Peace. 41 states so far. They'll hit 50 with Our Lady of Fatima here in the state of Oregon right now. The Executive Director, David Carollo, joins us, as well as from the Communications Office, Barb Ernster. And David, as we look to these 13th of the month from May to October, we are in a month, August, where the August apparition wasn't on the 13th. It was actually on the 19th. Can you give us some insights to a little bit of what happened with those shepherd children during the month of August?
Let me just correct one thing. To say that Our Lady did not appear at Fatima, she came.
Okay? She did come, yes.
She said, "I will be there," and she was there, and people testified that there was movement of the branches and everything else, but of course they didn't see her. She keeps her promises.
Yes,
unfortunately,
yes, that's right.
Human beings don't, okay? And what happened was they were taken off. And, you know, I always, when I speak on Fatima, I like to do it in series of threes, the three apparitions of the angel, introduction, reinforcement, and then the mission when they were given the Eucharist. And then Our Lady, the first, her introduction, her reinforcement in June, and then what came in July, the mission, when she showed the vision of hell, and she said, "Are you willing to offer your lives truly in reparation? This is why I'm asking you to do it, okay? Will you offer your lives in reparation so that people can avoid this fate?" Now comes the last three apparitions, and the first one being August is when they were first, now they were asked, now you have to start living. You have to start sacrificing severely, and they were taken off to prison, and they were held and told that they needed to recant the story. Okay, and they would not do it. They were told they would be boiled in oil. People know the story generally. And what did they do that day? They really accepted the crown of martyrdom that day. Okay, they were not going to, like they said, "We cannot lie." Okay, this is the true story. Our Lady appeared, and we will give our lives for this. Now, of course, martyrdom and their lives were not asked of them on that day. But they, you know, almost like Saint John in the wrote the Apocalypse. Obviously, they were called to martyrdom. They accepted the martyrdom, but then it was not called. They were not required to fulfill it. They were brought to a different mission. So this was the beginning of their lives of sacrifice. Truly, I mean, they had started that earlier, but this was where they really had to take, you know, stand up and say no. I mean, you know, despite what their parents were saying, at least in the case of Lucia. Where her mother just wanted this thing to end. She didn't want it to. It was a difficult time for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the August apparition is extremely significant because this was the time. And, of course, they were released from prison. And on the 19th, Our Lady did appear to them in Valinos, very near where the angel had appeared to them the year before. But there's a lot of significance in this August apparition, because now the pain of carrying this mission was starting to be felt by them.
Yeah. And I think that's so important, David, that you mentioned this progression from May and then to August and then to the close of October, where we see that miracle of the sun. That there's a movement. It's telling a story within the message, the mission. And as you say, the children are starting to learn, how do I live?
How do
really
I live?
What Our Lady is asking of us, to live in Christ.
Exactly. living as victim souls, because they were now asked to become victim souls, and they were, and they accepted it. When Our Lady said, "Are you willing?" without hesitation, they said yes. Mm. And that really is just like Our Lady, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." This was what's so special about these children and the heroic things that these young people, heroic beyond our comprehension in reality.
Yeah, hence their canonization earlier this year in 2017, right. The two youngest children saints that were non-martyred, canonized saints. Can you give us a little sense of the story from August to September, and then we build into the final apparition there in October? What happened with the children, and their life intensifies with our Blessed Mother?
Well, their lives did intensify. You realize, going back to July, Sister Lucia, young Lucia, I should say at the time, had decided not to even go to the cove anymore. She wasn't going to do it. Her life had been flipped upside down. The problems she had with her mother was untenable. Everything was extremely difficult for her. So she had come, of course, on that day and realized that her life would never, she couldn't say no, she had to be there. Mm-hmm. They knew now that their lives were something completely different. You know, this was serious. This is what they were going to do until they took their last breath. These children, I mean, obviously Jacinta and Francisco, they knew they were going to die soon. Did they know how soon? I don't know. Lucia knew she would be there, and she had a mission, and that mission was to disseminate the Fatima message, but not in a way that she had envisioned. Lucia, you'll learn to read and write to make me known. You'll be here a while longer to make me known and loved. A while longer. That was 88 years.
Mm-hmm.
A while. It makes you think of eternity, doesn't it?
Right.
88 years. And in that time. But then the two little ones, they're simply... So Fatima, when you look at the three children, you're looking at the absolute simple faith of the two little ones to the maturing faith of Lucia throughout that 88 years after the apparitions. And it really is beautiful because the Jacinta Francisco would be in church all the time, and he would be with the hidden Jesus, as he used to refer to him. Young Jacinta, she was just so filled with a need to save souls. She once said, "Why can't everyone see the vision of hell? Because no one then would ever want to go there." It was so important to her to work and pray for grace for people, for the conversion of sinners.
I just want to point out the August apparition. Our Lady said to them, pray very much and make sacrifices for sinners, for many souls go to hell because there are none to sacrifice themselves and pray for them.
That's right.
And that's a call to all of us. This is a mission of a call to help the spiritually poor. And that's why we offer sacrifice and reparation every day and say our rosaries. And especially we should be praying for those people who will die on this day, who may need that prayer or that grace to be saved from hell, because we don't know who's going to die.
And it's also a great, Barb and Dina Maria, it's also a great statement about what we're supposed to do. You know, today you have so much consternation about, say, for example, the consecration. Was the consecration made? Did the Pope do what he was supposed to do? We worry so much about these things, some people do, and do they forget what we were asked to do? And that's the danger in questioning everything. And I don't want to get into that whole debate about the consecration. We believe it was done.
Yeah.
St. Lucia said it was, and that's sufficient. Now, but she didn't say that everything was going to end the day. Some people believe that the consecration was going to be made, and then all evil was going to peel off of the earth within 24 hours. That was never promised.
Mm-hmm.
That was never promised. But it was a turnaround. The many things that happened can't be denied. Okay, take that debate to where you want it. For the people who will never accept that reality, look at the reality of what we were asked to do. We personally were asked to pray and make sacrifices for sinners. We were asked personally to live in accord with the Gospels. Are we first, before we look at what anybody, including the Pope, has or hasn't done, are we first doing what we have to do? And that's the primary, that's the mission of Fatima.
Yeah. And we hear that from Jesus in the Gospels. I mean, to take that splinter out of our own eye when we start to say, we point the finger, and yet we have to look at, I can only control my actions and my behaviors and the way I live. And I pray that how I live will impact others in a positive and a holy way of leading them to Jesus, not away from Christ. So I think there's something, Barbara, you were talking about your daughters. And you know what? I can't go live their life for them. I can't go to college. And we don't really want to do that. But we can be strong in our faith and to live that faith. And when we speak to them, there's a sound that they hear. It's not the words. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from loving Our Lady.
And they don't hear this message anywhere else.
Yeah.
So we can't ever disregard or discount what seeds we might be planting by staying strong in the faith and remaining faithful to the gospel and the church's teachings, despite all of what's going on around us. We might be the only light that's shining in another area and showing a different viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
Barb, we have so many listeners who are in the state of Oregon and even our Southwest Washington listeners who have the opportunity to visit this particular traveling statue of Our Lady of Fatima, the pilgrim statue. They've got a few more days. The tour just began. Give us some reasons why I should make an extra effort. We are having a heat wave, as you've kind of heard. We're having a lot of challenges with the weather. But I think Jesus is bringing fire on the earth. He's bringing Our Lady for conversion. Why should people come to one of these events?
Well, I just believe you're called to come. And Our Lady just wants you to know her heart. Because, as you know in the gospel message, whenever something would happen, like during the when they came to present Jesus in the temple, she pondered things in her heart. That's where her treasure is. And that's why during the first Saturday devotion, when she asks us to spend 15 minutes keeping her company while meditating on the mysteries, it's because she wants to draw us into her heart where her treasure is. And so when you come there and you delve deep into your heart, and I always say, you know, this isn't a clipboard. You just, okay, I said my rosary, I did my first Saturday. No. She wants us to get to know her heart, and that's what she's inviting us to. And so if you come to visit the statue and you kneel before her and you look into her eyes and you bring her all of your troubles and then just get drawn into her heart and let her take you there. Just let her take you there, because she's going to keep, that's where the miracles are happening. There's a heart-to-heart conversation that goes on. And of course, she's going to draw us directly to the heart of her son, because that's where her treasure is. The treasure that's in her heart is the heart of her own son.
Yeah.
And so I just encourage people to not miss this opportunity. We never know when the International Pilgrim Virgin Statue is going to be able to come around again. After this American tour, she will be going back around to different countries, and this is a real opportunity to participate in this two-year tour across America, where she's hitting every state. So I just really encourage people to not miss this opportunity.
I noticed, David, that on most of the visits that Our Lady will make here in Oregon, and I'm sure in all of the different locations, there is an opportunity for an enrollment in the Brown Scapular. I'm looking at St. Joseph's schedule, and they have that scheduled for their Saturday afternoon. What is significant about the Brown Scapular? We see a little bit Our Lady of Mount Carmel in the October apparition. Share a little bit about how the Blue Army really kind of explains the Brown Scapular and the significance.
Well, of course, the Brown Scapular is obviously a Carmelite devotion, but when Our Lady appeared as Our Lady of Mount Carmel, as she did at Fatima, there was a priest by the name of Father Howard Rafferty. I had the honor of knowing him. He was a priest from Chicago, and he was from Aylesford, a National Scapular Center in Darien, Illinois, near Chicago. And I remember I did a pilgrimage with him and got to know him. I am a lay Carmelite myself, so I did have a little contact over the years. And I just received a tape. It was a remastering of a tape he did in 1958, speaking about his 1950 visit with Sister Lucia in Fatima, in Coimbra, actually. And he asked her about it, because he was preaching on a scapular throughout the country. And he asked her, you know, what is really said about Fatima, at Fatima, about the scapular? And he said, and then he asked her one question: what's more important, the scapular or the rosary? And in that tape, he says her words were, "The rosary and the scapular are inseparable." Okay, because the rosary is our means of prayer, as Padre Pio called it, Saint Padre Pio called it, the weapon. Okay, the weapon of prayer. And we were founded as a blue army of prayer,
yeah.
Okay, to counter the red army of atheistic communism. Our weapon, the rosary. St. Padre Pio agreed to be our spiritual father, and his main reason was our main devotion was the Holy Rosary. But that's the rosary, and then there's the garment. The garment is the scapular. It is a protection. Now, in recent years, there's been a lot of discussion and statements about the Sabbatine privilege and all of that. I don't know. I'll leave that to the Carmelite fathers to discuss. But there is a protection. It's a sign of your consecration. You know, I remember the scapular is always set on the back, whosoever shall die wearing this scapular shall not suffer eternal fire. You remember that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, that's true. But does that mean that you live, you know, a dissolute life and then five minutes before you die, you put a scapular on, you go to heaven? I don't think so, okay? That's not the way it works. But it is a sign of your consecration, and it is a garment of protection. Does it protect you physically? Well, maybe in some cases it can. But more importantly, it's protecting you spiritually, all right? It is a sign of a consecration. It is that garment worn next to you that should be protecting your soul, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's really the part that matters. So, again, Sister Lucia, her statement, the rosary and the scapular are inseparable, and we truly believe that.
Mm. And people are hungering. I think you mentioned that, Barb, that there's just a hunger and a thirst to know. And Our Lady wants us to have that refreshment of the Lord Jesus. She wants us to introduce us into the most sacred heart of Christ. Her Immaculate Heart just wants to carry us there. Coming from your mother's heart, Barb, what has really encouraged you of the Blessed Mother's presence, her presence in your own life as a mother, as a wife, as one who wants to grow closer to Jesus? How does Our Lady help us?
Well, it's through the Immaculate Heart that I'm able to let go of things. I mean, that's one thing I felt she has taught me through the First Saturday devotion. When I do spend that 15 minutes with her, I'm able to let go of things and turn them over to the Lord. I can take them off my shoulders and trust. And that's where she's led me, to a greater trust in Jesus. And I'm doing my part, and that's what he's asked me to do. And so if I can remain faithful to him every day and to be obedient to his will for me, then I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and he's going to take care of things. And that's, I think Our Lady has led me to greater trust in Jesus.
Mm. We're talking with the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA, Our Lady's Blue Army. You can join them. In fact, they released a while ago a beautiful anniversary issue of Soul magazine. And if you're not already a subscriber of Soul, I would really encourage you to get on their website and get a hold of the Soul magazine. But this Fatima 100 Years of Grace, we've been using it as a resource here at the station because there's a ton of information, beautiful images, beautiful pictures of really telling you the whole story. And it's a special commemorative edition that they put together for this anniversary, and if you get onto their website, you can get a hold of that Soul magazine, and if they still have copies available, you can get that 100 Years of Grace Fatima, because as David mentioned, maybe we're not going to be able to travel to Fatima personally, but we can have a pilgrimage, we can learn, we can go to a local church, we can go to one of these beautiful places to visit Our Lady right now. Take this opportunity to make a commitment to let the Lord grow deeper in your heart through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, as her heart will triumph. Stay with us here on our in-person series as we continue to share about this 100th year anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima with our friends from the Blue Army. You'll also be our guest here on In Person.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from Leadership Circle member Catholic cemeteries, including Mount Calvary in Portland, Gethsemane in Happy Valley, and Mount Calvary in Eugene. Operated by the Archdiocese of Portland since 1888, Catholic Cemeteries provides full-service, pre-arranged burial plans for families. Information on special masses and events at ccpdxor.com or 503-292-6621.
How does the message of Our Lady of Fatima impact your soul? Find out at Holy Rosary Church with Father Amancio Rodriguez on Saturday, August 19th. This free event begins Saturday morning at 7:30 with Rosary and Mass. Breakfast is served in Aquinas Hall, followed by a Fatima talk on the history, the miracles, and the message of Fatima. Archbishop Alexander Sample says this message is worth following.
It's an important anniversary, I think, for us to commemorate and to remember and to rededicate ourselves to Our Lady's requests at Fatima. One of the things I think we need to recognize is that this apparition of Our Lady to the children of Fatima is one that is recognized by the Church. If the Church has said this was an authentic apparition, then I certainly want to be attentive to the message and to live and follow the message that Our Lady gave.
Learn, live, and spread the message of Fatima. For details, moderndayradio.com.
As you may have heard, Mater Dei Radio has big plans for the future. This includes moving our studios, expanded programming, and providing new platforms for our broadcast. You can help build on this bright future of Catholic radio by including Mater Dei Radio in your estate plans. There are many estate planning options to choose from, but one way would be to include Mater Dei Radio as a beneficiary in your will. More information on estate planning is on our website at materdeiradio.com.
Welcome back to our in-person series here on Mater Dei Radio, the bridge between your faith and everyday life. Visit our website at materdeiradio.com. We have a special page dedicated to this 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima events that are going on. In fact, you just heard the one that's coming up on the 19th of August. Isn't that great that the 19th of August in the year 2017 follows on a Saturday? May 13th, 2017 just happened to follow on a Saturday. I don't know, David and Barb, but I just think Our Lady is making some significant exclamation points into our world to say, are you paying attention to the Lord? Are you paying attention to the mother's heart? And is this a coincidence, David?
There is no such thing as coincidence, okay? They're God incidences. And our faith, and it has to do with how our faith is emboldened and how truly it's tested. And I'll tell you a good example. Is on May 13th, you know, we had here at the Shrine in New Jersey, of course, this is our main headquarters. We're a 150-acre shrine in western New Jersey. Many of us in the Diocese of Metuchen were quite a distance from Oregon, of course, but many people have been here. And we prayed so much for good weather on Saturday, May 13th, biggest day we're ever going to have, we're thinking. And it actually turned out to be the second biggest day. For the biggest one was when Mother Teresa visited here in the early 90s. But the reality is, so all the time we're praying for good weather and a good event and all these things. And the weather was beautiful Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then it said rain on Saturday. I said, nah, she's not going to let it happen. Well, it started raining at 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and didn't stop until midnight. It rained steadily. It didn't even let up long enough to run between the raindrops. And I kept looking, and the people were coming, and then they kept coming, and then they kept coming, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, this is like October 13th of 1917 in Fatima, and we're going to have the miracle of the sun, I thought. So, the people are coming up. I mean, we had, you know, we seat 1,500 under roof outside. We had about 3,000 under the roof. We had two tents. Each had about 1,000 people. We had our Blessed Sacrament Chapel just filled to the brim. We had 7,500 people here that day. Now, tell me that wasn't faith.
Yeah.
Okay. I looked for the miracle of the sun, and what we got was the miracle of the rain.
Yes.
We had the most. It was just a beautiful outpouring. Our local bishop here, Bishop James Checchio, and the Bishop of Metuchen was here, and he said the same thing. We were talking about it downstairs in the sacristy. I mean, the numbers were just phenomenal. And what did that tell you? Okay, these people came because of a love of Our Lady, and they wanted to be part of the 100th anniversary of the first apparition of Fatima. And our Lord said, "It's going to rain all day, and let's separate the, to use a term, the men from the boys, where I come from." This is what it was going to be. This was going to be the day. If you wanted to be here, and people came in numbers, and it was absolutely edifying. It really was. So these are the types of little things I think that we're seeing and feeling here.
Yeah.
You know, it is a year of great grace. It truly is, and I think there's more to come. I think many great things have been happening in Fatima. Of course, the canonization of the children on that very day, Jacinta Francisco. And think about that canonization happening 100 years to the day after the first apparition, and Our Lady had said, you know, when they asked, will we go to heaven? And she said, Jacinta and Francisco will go to heaven soon, but Lucia, you will stay a while longer. Now, think about that. These people, they were getting, once the apparitions were validated, I mean, and you accept what was said, they were told they were going to go to heaven. I mean, why did it take 100 years for them to be canonized? A lot of people ask that. And think what it was. And in my opinion, the church in its wisdom, and of course God in his wisdom, by allowing the miracles at the time when he did, was saying to us, Fatima is for the future. Fatima is not a historical event from 100 years ago, primarily. Fatima is something going forward. And the fact that these children were canonized on the 100th anniversary is a statement, in my opinion, that the future of Fatima is still here. It's still ahead of us. It's not something that we are to look back on. It's not just historical. Because we still have to fulfill this message to bring about the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. We have to continue to pray and make sacrifices, fulfill that first Saturday devotion, as Barb called it, the forgotten part of the Fatima message. Okay, our work is still ahead of us, and we can have that era of peace. All right, we can have all the things that were promised, albeit late, because things weren't done in a time frame they were supposed to be. But there's still, where there's life, there's hope, and we're looking forward. And I do believe that canonization on that particular day was a statement by God that this is how it's going to be.
Mm.
David, that's the same. Yeah. Sometimes when we're on the tour, you know, especially through South Dakota, we're going to these far-flung small towns. But there would be, you know, smaller crowds. But I would say to them, there's an undercurrent of faith and prayer and sacrifice going on in this country that Hollywood and Washington know nothing about. That's
right.
The power that's going on here underneath all that comes out in the media. And I said to these people, you are part of this. You're part of this undercurrent of faith and prayer.
Absolutely.
And it's going to raise up this country.
Mm-hmm.
And Our Lady is leading us. And so I don't want people to give up. This is an exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a time to be joining Our Lady's Blue Army and to getting behind her, because she's the one who's in charge right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's no coincidence that when we planned this tour, we ended up in the Diocese of Cleveland during the Republican National Convention, when there was all these reports that there was going to be riots and protesters and all this violence, and we prayed for peace, and Our Lady came through. There's no coincidence she's going to be in the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City on October 13th, where the Satanist who's doing these black masses and desecrating her image has been making so much news. Well, here she comes on October 13th, and she's going to be in that diocese. And she's already crushed Satan's head. It's just that we're still part of her. We're still in time and space.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an exciting time, I think. And it's not a time to ignore what she asked us to do at Fatima.
Right. David,
and
other...
It's coming. I mean, we are looking, you know, it's in the future. We're fighting for the future, not for the past.
Yes. Okay. Souls for Christ.
Souls for Christ. Yeah, we still have to bring people, you know, look, I mean, we can say, okay, the one's consecration and the devil will be chained, and I believe all of this. But keep in mind that until the last person on earth breathes their last breath, he's going to fight to take souls, okay? I mean, that's his mission, okay? He may not have the same power or the same leeway, but he is going to work until the end of time for that, and we have to fight until the end of time for that.
Mm.
We have to persevere.
Yeah.
So it's that's our job.
Right. Let's talk a little bit more about that first Saturday devotion, because we are coming up to a first Saturday and we have the blessing in two locations. They'll begin the morning over in Oregon City at St. John the Apostle Parish with the first Saturday devotion with the tour for peace, and then Our Lady will travel south to Salem. The City of Peace, the capital of the state of Oregon, just is so remarkable how our Blessed Mother continues to bring blessings at St. Joseph's Church. This is great. So it's a beautiful day, Saturday, for Our Lady. What are the components? What are the ways in which that first Saturday devotion is recognized, David?
Well, the first Saturday devotion, of course, we receive, you know, what are the requirements to receive Holy Communion? You don't necessarily have to attend Mass, but you have to receive our Lord in Holy Communion, pray five decades of the Rosary, and then the other part of it is to, you know, so you say, well, gee, should we be praying the rest of the decades of the Rosary? Well, that's nice. What did Our Lady ask for? Keep me company.
Mm-hmm.
Keep me company while meditating on the rest of those devotion, or excuse me, the mysteries of the Rosary, 15, or of course 10, and the 10 now, the 15 additional ones. And I think that is really, you come into a mindset with Our Lady on First Saturday. That's what she's asking for. She's asking for you to pray, make reparation, and come into a mindset. And then, of course, confession within, I think it varies in different dioceses. It's within, used to be within the octave, which was eight days either side of it. Some dioceses say within a reasonable time. I don't know. That's something a priest can clarify for you over there. But the reality is you're putting yourself in the mindset of Our Lady's request and her mindset for the world. And that's where your inspiration comes from. It's an inspiration to go forward. Certainly it's reparation. That's the primary part. But I do think it goes beyond that. Mm-hmm. It goes way beyond that.
Barb, suggestions for our listeners to, if they haven't yet begun that first Saturday devotion, to this is the month. Make this month the first month of the five first Saturdays.
Well, and especially during this centennial year, we have a campaign going on where we're asking people to sign a pledge to make a commitment to give Our Lady their first Saturdays as a gift to her on this 100th anniversary. We've had nearly 5,000 people signed that pledge so far. Mm. It's online on our website. If you on one of the big slides, the big banners that slide through, it's the last banner. But the other thing is about the first Saturday is we're making reparation for these offenses that are committed against her Immaculate Heart. And the offenses are against the Immaculate Conception, against her perpetual virginity, against her divine maternity, refusing at the same time to accept her as mother of all mankind, for those who publicly implant in the hearts of children indifference, disrespect, and even hatred for this good mother, and for those who insult Our Lady and her sacred images. And one of the things I like to say about these offenses, they are offenses against the teachings of the Church mm-hmm. on the role of Mary. So they offend God. They are also offenses against the disunity that's happened among Christians and in Orthodox brothers and sisters as well. So when we're making reparation for these things, we're bringing about unity in the Church and among Christians. And I'm hearing about the amazing turnaround of what's happening down in the Atlanta, Georgia area and the Bible Belt, that there's so many conversions to the Catholic faith. There's so many people turning Catholic that it's almost become the big Catholic center of the United States. And I don't know why that's happening. But when we're making these first Saturday, doing the first Saturday devotion, and we're praying for unity in the Church, we're bringing God's one holy Catholic Church together. We're repairing the damage that was done by the schisms and the disunity.
Mm. That's right. That's right. She will unify.
Yes.
She will unify Christianity. She will unify the world, even Islam and all. It will come through Our Lady.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, there's no doubt about that.
Mm.
And when? Well, we may be around for it, and maybe
God's
we won't.
Timing.
But,
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Barb, I want to have you just mention resources, and I got excited about the anniversary edition of Soul because it's so beautiful, and there's so much I'm learning about in this magazine. A couple of things you want to direct our listeners to that's on your website that people can get a hold of to learn more about the message of Fatima and to share with others.
Well, on our website, we have a 13-part video series that we did on, it's called Fatima, Hope for the World, and if you just click on the banners mm-hmm. that are scrolling across our screen. You can. The second one will bring you to buy the 100th anniversary issue that is very popular. We're already in our second printing of that. Then there's a link to Fatima Hope for the World, and that's where you can get our 13-part video series. They're just 2 to 3 minute videos that take you through the entire message of Fatima and all that's happened through the 20th century and why this is important today. And on that page, there are resources linked with each video that you can learn more about the message, that part of the message we're talking about in that video. And there's a number of Catholic schools and organizations that have been using these videos to teach people about the message of Fatima. Mm. We also put together a 100th anniversary documentary this year on the message of Fatima, and that's available in our gift shop as well, called Fatima, A Message of Hope. That documentary is going to be going all over the world. We're translating that with 5 different languages, Chinese, Russian, mm-hmm. Polish, Spanish, and German, so it'll be subtitled in those 5 languages.
Let me interject, Barb. I just received a phone call right before the show, and I haven't had a chance to even speak with you yet about this, but they're also offering it to us in Arabic.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's so timely. It's so very timely.
Yeah, there's no mistakes here. And then, Dave, this will be going out on Amazon Prime as well.
Right. Exactly.
Wow.
Correct.
Okay.
And it's been playing on EWTN television,
right,
too.
Right.
Yeah. So that really is a powerful tool for educating people on the message of Fatima. And I know that a number of organizations around the country are using it at their conferences. I used it in my talks locally. It helps give a real strong understanding of the apparitions, the message, and what happened throughout the 20th century. And so then, I know the Knights of Columbus are also using this around my archdiocese. They're playing it all over. They're showing it to seminarians, and they're showing it at every gathering they can think of, because it's so important.
Yeah. BlueArmy.com, the website, you can get a hold of all that information, and we'll continue to pray. We're so grateful for the Tour for Peace here in the state of Oregon. What a blessing, and continue to bless many more people. Dave and Barb, thank you so much, and for the whole team there, the Pope's team, to continue to share the message. Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Stay well. We'll look forward to having you back very soon.
Wonderful. God bless
you. Thank you very much.
God bless you, too. All right. Again, David Carollo and Barb Ernster of the World Apostolate of Fatima USA. We are all part of Our Lady's Blue Army. You can find them online and check out those DVDs and the videos. They're just incredible. BlueArmy.com. And as we do close today, let's close with the Eucharistic prayer, one of our Fatima prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most Holy Trinity, I adore you. My God, I love you in the most blessed sacrament. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Peace be with you as together we continue to share the joy of the gospel here on Mater Dei Radio. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to In Person with Dina Marie. For more about this program and the morning drive, visit us online at materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.